I invite you to turn to Job chapter 22. Job chapter 22. We have an interesting question asked by Eliphaz to Job in Job 22, verse 2. And this is what he says. Can a man be profitable unto God, as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? This question is an important question. It's a question that every person has to decide, I believe, sometime in his life, those who come to know the Lord. The idea today is that man is indispensable to the will and the purpose of God. Eliphaz didn't have the background. Eliphaz did not have the knowledge. Eliphaz did not have the understanding to answer his own question. But to Job, a man who has been accused by his friends, his dear friends, of being a great sinner because of all the things that's come about upon his life, that is why, Job, that's why you're having all of these problems. Not once did Job ever say that I'm not a sinner. All Job could say is, I know that my Redeemer liveth. For every child of God, that's his testimony. It's his testimony. It's not that I'm any good. It's not that I'm righteous. But there's one thing I do know, and that is that my Redeemer liveth. This morning our pastor spoke about the hearing ear and the seeing eye. Without that, without a person having not just the knowledge of God, but having his mind and sight open to the reality and the graciousness and the goodness of Almighty God, we know nothing in this life. Eliphaz's friends, or Job's friends, like Eliphaz, they only knew what they could see with their natural eye. This afternoon, if we do have an eye of faith, an eye that has been opened by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, not by the knowledge of historical fact, but a knowledge that has been given to us by God. Something that has opened our eyes, opened our ears to the understanding that Almighty God is supreme. That Almighty God is the one that's made the world, who brought me into this world, and the one that I should worship, that I should honor. Whatever I do or say should be to the glory of Almighty God. Eliphaz says again in our passage, can a man be profitable unto God? What is your answer? What is your answer to that? My answer is no. There is no way that I can be profitable unto God. How can a fit man, a man like we are, how can we do anything to profit an infinite, all-sufficient God? What qualities could I ever acquire to do something, to add to Almighty God's wish and command? Sufficiency is an attribute of God, a being that needs to be understood and universally proclaimed. All sufficiency implies self-sufficiency and independence. This attribute of the great and glorious God teaches us many wonderful things. But like Eliphaz, when we come into this world, we are blind. We're deaf to the understanding of what God is and what God is doing. Somehow or another, within every man, we have an understanding within ourselves that I can rise above myself, that I can become somebody. I can become something that God would appreciate, that I can be something that God is going to put His thumb approval upon me. And because of what I'm going to be, because of being maybe a good father, maybe being a good teacher, maybe being a good carpenter. For an example, I know this man, and he is a nice man. He's a math teacher. He's a very smart and a very good math teacher. He's a professional teacher. He is a professional teacher in this way. He's so good that a school district would hire him and pay him a lot of money to come into a school district because he can sit down with students and evaluate them and determine what they are lacking. And his purpose for being in his job is to bring all those school grades up. To make that school district acceptable so they can get more money from the federal government. That's what he does. He's a pro. They hire him for that. And this is what the man said to me. He said he does it all for one reason. That he might gain with God. In his mind and heart, he teaches. And he would leave the house at 6 o'clock and get home at 8 o'clock at night. His whole day, his life is dedicated to the purpose of teaching these kids, teaching them algebra and trigonometry and all the things that they need to know to pass the state exams. He lives and breathes this. That's all he talks about. He's a math teacher and he does it for one purpose, that he may win the favor of Almighty God. It's a true story. He actually exists. This was where Eliphaz was. Eliphaz asked the question, can a man be profitable unto God? The world says yes. Yes, you can achieve greatness. You can win the favor of God by your actions, your goodness, your deeds. The opposite is true. Man cannot achieve approval unto God. We have the approval of God in Christ Jesus. If we know Him, if we know the Lord today, we have the love and the mercy of God upon us. But there's been nothing that we have done in this life. There is nothing we've ever said. There's no place I've ever gone. There's no sermon we've ever preached that has contributed one thing to bringing me to a level for the approval of Almighty God. Because, as the preacher said in the vestibule this afternoon, even God sees folly in the angels, created angels. There is no goodness apart from Almighty God. There's three things this afternoon I want to bring to your attention concerning this one verse in the Word of God. And first of all, it's this. Let us ever remember that God needs nothing from anyone. Now, isn't this contrary to everything that people are teaching and preaching up and down in churches today? That God needs nothing from anyone. Today, I'm afraid it is so that preachers feel that they are indispensable in the purpose and the decree of God. That their place with God is, they're not replaceable. But as we read the Word of God, we'll see that God set people aside and brought up others all the time. The self-existent God is a self is a God who needs nothing and no one. He is perfect, complete, and happy and satisfied in himself. We can add nothing to him, and we can take nothing from him. In Romans 11, verse 35 and 36, the Word of God says, "Who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him glory and forever." All that there is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not found within us. A few months ago, there was a grandchild born in my family. And I want to tell you, he's the greatest grandson in the world. There's no grandson like my grandson. He is sharp. You look into the boy's eyes and you'll just see greatness. I do. But there's nothing within that grandson of mine that can merit grace and mercy with Almighty God. Nothing. No waters of baptism will bring out and develop that child to love and to serve God. No Christian baptism will bring out the mercy and the love that God has for his chosen people. No good father like his father. He's got a wonderful father. Trained him myself. You know, there's nothing that my son can do for him that will bring out the mercy and the grace of God. That boy, Marshall, is totally dependent upon God's loving mercy upon his boy's life. He has no hope apart from the saving grace of God to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand in need of God. He alone supplies our every need and supports us in life. By him we exist. In him we live. And we move and have our being. He upholds us by his word and of his power. But God needs nothing from us. Psalms 50 verse 7. "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel. I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifice or thy burnt offering to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goat out of thy fold. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the fowl of the mountain, and the beast, the wild beast of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat flesh of bulls and drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pray thou a vow unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of thy trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." All that we know, all that we read in the Word of God, we have the work of God's people in all of Israel. They offer their sacrifice and all of those things. But what God is saying, your offerings are not acceptable. Your offerings make no difference in what I desire. Our worship service, the acts of obedience and faith, the great sacrifices add nothing to Almighty God. Just like those great feasts, in the time of Israel, thousands of lambs, thousands of bullocks were sacrificed and burned upon the offering. Day after day, they would burn those offerings unto God. And it was a sweet savor, yes, but did it make a difference? It was a labor of the people before God. But did it make a difference in the attitude and the purpose of Almighty God toward one soul in the kingdom of Israel? It didn't change God. It didn't change his opinion. It did not make him do anything. It was an exercise of labor. It was an exercise of worship to Almighty God. You're coming today here to this service as an act of worship. But because you come as an act of worship, will that add to you? Will that bring you before God? Will that make you more acceptable before God because you came here today? No, it will not. It will not. Our God's will and purpose is set before the foundation of the world. It is my duty. It is my pleasure to come and worship Almighty God in this place, to hear His Word, to sing His praises. It is a worship, a work unto God, unto Him. But all the worship, all of the work, all the service, and all the obedience unto God does not change God's work, purpose and will toward us. In Luke 17, verse 10, "So likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." Titus 3 and verse 8, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." It is profitable that I come here today. It is a blessing that I come here today. To come here once a week and to have fellowship with you and to speak to you is a comfort to me. Did you get that? You are a comfort to me. Coming here, being with you, inspires me, makes me want to serve Him, makes me want to continue to come, makes me want to come and to absorb the fellowship and the worship around Almighty God. But yet, again, it does not change God. It does not profit us with God in His purpose toward us. God is an infinite great, so very self-sufficient that no creature can add anything to Him, take anything from Him, hinder His work, imply His purpose, or in any way alter Almighty God. The second thing is that God, all of what we've said so far, our Heavenly Father is able to supply our every need. Our Lord God is able to supply all the needs of His people. I get myself, I think, sometimes in a mess. I do certain things because I want to help people. And I forget sometimes that all that I do does not really do anything much for anybody. I can take someone to work, and I can take them to a doctor, and I can take them to a grocery store to buy groceries, and that's a benefit. That's a benefit to that family. I can get them over a hump. But all that I can do and all that I can say is of no value when it comes to influencing that family unto the grace of Almighty God. It is my God. It is my Lord who supplies my personal needs, who supplies the needs of every family on the face of the earth. There is nothing that happens that does not come about from the will and the purpose of Almighty God. And then the last thing that I want to say this afternoon is concerning our self-righteousness. Eliphaz was filled with self-righteousness. Eliphaz could be a prototype of all humanity. Eliphaz could only see what he could see through his own eyes and hear through his own ears. A far contrast to that of Almighty God. Man is filled with self-righteousness. But it's kind of hard to see how that all of mankind is guilty of the same thing. We all walk on the same track of self-righteousness. Somehow or another within every person, there is something that tells us that we have some part in this great work of Almighty God. There is some goodness within me that I can give or to share with another. But man is so self-righteous that he's blind. Not only is he blind, but he cannot hear the word of God. This causes him to be deficient. Where God is all efficient, we are all deficient. We're not able to bring up, to produce the righteousness, the goodness, to present ourselves before Almighty God. When we stand before our Heavenly Father, and you will stand there either alone or someone will stand there for you. Those who are in Christ Jesus, we have an advocate with the Father who is our legal, judicial representative to take our place, because we have not the standing to stand before Almighty God and petition the court of His supremacy. When you go into a courtroom in our society, unless you've been given special permission from a standing judge, you cannot come before His bench. If you're a recognized attorney and you have a license and you're in good standing, then you will be accepted to come and speak before a judge. But in a natural scene, you're not able to, because you're not qualified to. You're not a member of the bar. The only person who is qualified to stand before Almighty God is one who has never sinned, who is all of righteousness and mercy. Do you want someone that has been hurt, who's lame, who's blind, who is deaf, to represent you before a court of justice in this land? Just think about standing before Almighty God and standing with tattered clothes, standing with a speech that is not good, standing not on 2 feet but maybe on 1 leg, and petition Almighty God that you are worthy to walk into the gates of heaven. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We need an advocate. We need an advocate that is perfect and cleansed and sinless to stand before us in that day. But poor old Eliphaz, he asked that question about, can a man be profitable unto God? If there is no profit within you, there is no value within you, what is man standing before God when we give our last breath and we stand before Almighty God? No chance. No chance. If you had no chance to stand before Him in this life, you'll have no chance to stand before Him in that life. Eliphaz brings an interesting point to our discussion this afternoon. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. Of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who in God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. All that is in us is granted by God, for it is by and through Him that Christ Jesus comes, and are all of the blessing of Almighty God. I think about Aleph. I've been reading through the book of Job. And I think about Eliphaz, and it dawned on me, Eliphaz is just like any other man. But what he thought, and his question, is the same question that natural man asks. Is there any profit? In his mind, there's got to be a little problem. Just like the preacher and preaches a few funerals, and you preach a funeral. The family sits over on the side generally, and the family wants to hear the preacher say something to the effect that there's some goodness in this man. That this man was a good father, and this man was a good worker, and this man did this, and he belonged to these associations. All of that is trying to build up profitability for this man to stand before God. But when the preacher preaches a sermon, he'll preach a sermon like this. He'll read the obituary very quickly, and then that's the end of that one. Then he goes to the gospel and lets the gospel speak for itself. Today, I want Christ to speak for me. I want the Lord to be my advocate. I want Him to be my Savior in this life and my Lord in glory in heaven. May God bless you.